Welcome. My name is Dr. Marion Peters, Professor of Medicine, Chief of Hepatology Research at the University of California, San Francisco. This is an IAS USA learning module on evaluation and prognosis of patients with cirrhosis. Today, I will be covering the following key concerns of evaluation and prognosis of patients with cirrhosis: cirrhosis staging, clinical evidence of portal hypertension, management of cirrhosis, how to recognize decompensated liver disease, and how to manage it. Many times, we can diagnose cirrhosis by clinical evidence of portal hypertension. These include hypersplenism with low platelets, low white count, splenomegaly, and spider nevi in the skin, most commonly noted on shoulder or chest. How to distinguish compensated from decompensated cirrhosis? Any cause of liver disease can progress with increasing fibrosis to cirrhosis. Initially, it is compensated, and then with time can decompensate as evidenced by ascites, hepatorenal syndrome, spontaneous bacterial peritonitis, hepatic encephalopathy, bleeding varices, or coagulopathy. The development of hepatocellular carcinoma itself can lead to decompensation, and all of these increase the risk of death. The natural history of end-stage liver disease is such that the transition from compensated to decompensated cirrhosis occurs at a rate of 5 to 7% per year. The best predictor of decompensation is the hepatic venous pressure gradient of greater than 10 millimeters of mercury, but this is an invasive test. As noted, hepatocellular carcinoma itself can trigger decompensation and is a predictor of death in decompensated cirrhosis. Apart from the hepatic venous pressure gradient, there are clinical tools for predicting disease severity and death in decompensated cirrhosis. Initially, for 30 years, the Child-Turcot-Pugh score, and more recently, the Model for End-Stage Liver Disease, or MELD score. The CPT score assesses two clinical parameters, hepatic encephalopathy and ascites, and three laboratory parameters, bilirubin, albumin, and INR, from normal to severely deranged, with 1, 2, or 3 points depending on the severity of the parameter. A child's A status is points 5 to 6, B has 7 to 9 points, and child C greater than 9 points. This scoring system has been used for many years and is easy to assess clinically. However, it has been taken over by the Model for End-Stage Liver Disease score, which better predicts the 3-month mortality after TIPS or surgery, and has been used now for allocation of liver donors. It only uses laboratory parameters, bilirubin, INR, and creatinine, and you need to go online to get the score if you put in the patient's bilirubin, INR, and creatinine. If it's normal, the MELD is 8 or less. If it is abnormal, you can see doubling the bilirubin increases the score to 10, doubling the INR and bilirubin to 20, and doubling the creatinine to 27. The survival time from first liver decompensation to death varies in hepatitis C, depending on whether the patient is co-infected with HIV, as shown in yellow, or has hepatitis C alone, as shown in blue. After the first liver decompensation, 74% of patients survive at 1 year, and 44 at 5 years if mono-infected with hepatitis C. However, if they're co-infected, only 54% survive 1 year and 25% 5 years. Let's talk about the various decompensations that can occur after in cirrhosis. The first is ascites, which initially is diuretic response of ascites, treated with sodium restriction and spironolactone and furosemide in a 3-to-1 ratio. As ascites worsens, it becomes refractory and it can be treated either with large volume paracentesis. It is critical to remember that 50 cc's of salt pore albumin, 25%, must be replaced intravenously per liter of ascitic fluid removed. Can also be treated with transjugular intrahepatic portosystemic shunting, which has led to a higher transplant-free survival but an increased risk of hepatic encephalopathy. As ascites worsens, patients may develop hyponatremia, which can be treated with fluid restriction and vasopressin 2 receptor antagonists. Spontaneous bacterial peritonitis is a frequent complication of ascites. It's the most common type of bacterial infection in hospitalized patients with cirrhosis. It rarely is diagnosed on clinical suspicion because few patients have fever, abdominal pain, tenderness, or leukocytosis. It is commonly diagnosed with the development of new unexplained encephalopathy, new or worsening jaundice, or worsening renal failure. SBP is diagnosed by tapping the ascitic fluid with a white count greater than 500 or a neutrophil count greater than 250. The ascitic fluid must be placed in blood culture bottles, as sending to the lab without blood culture bottles decreases the success and positive rate by 50%. Treatment should be started immediately. A high neutrophil count is found before blood culture results are obtained. All patients with cirrhosis require EGD for variceal surveillance. If there are no varices and the patient has compensated liver disease, repeat the endoscopy in 3 years. If the patient has decompensated liver disease, repeat the endoscopy in 1 year. If there are small varices, non-selective beta blockers are used to decrease the splanchnic pressure. If there are medium or large varices, beta blockers plus band ligation are recommended. Beta blocker must be non-selective to decrease splanchnic pressure. Hepatorenal syndrome results from vasodilatation and marked reduction in effective arterial blood volume, leading to renal vasoconstriction. It occurs in patients with refractory ascites and/or hyponatremia. Type 1 is rapidly progressive renal failure, leading to death in 2 weeks. Type 2 is more common, is slowly progressive with a median survival of 6 months. It is treated with albumin, midodrin, and octreotide to give splanchnic vasoconstriction and liver transplantation. Hepatic encephalopathy, the treatment aims to reduce production of ammonia and other unknown substrates from the colon through non-absorbable disaccharides such as lactulose, lactitol, or lactose, or by non-absorbable antibiotics. Neomycin has largely been replaced by rifaximin. Protein restriction, which promotes protein degradation, and if maintained for long periods, worsens nutritional status and decreases muscle mass, it is no longer recommended. Normal protein diet is recommended. So in summary, all patients with hepatitis C should be assessed for fibrosis stage prior to starting therapy, Progression to decompensated cirrhosis can occur with interferon alpha-based therapies. All patients with cirrhosis require monitoring for varices with EGD, for hepatocellular carcinoma with imaging and alpha-fetoprotein, for ascites and infection, and with worsening decompensation, SBP prophylaxis. Remember to consider liver transplantation when the first decompensation occurs.